the InfoWars Nightly News. It's Wednesday, July 10th, 2013, and here are our top stories.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, activist Adam Kokesh is raided and arrested by stormtrooper police. Then, it's spy versus spy as Obama orders the government to snitch on each other. And John Corzine will face no criminal charges over MF Global. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
But in America, they have a hunger to literally put us in jail.
Well, in light of our top story today, I want to start out with a quote from Martin Luther King. He said, "An individual who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust and who willingly accepts the penalty of imprisonment in order to arouse the conscience of the community over its injustice is in reality expressing the highest respect for the law." That's Martin Luther King. What Adam Kokesh did was to respect the law, something that the District of Columbia is not respecting. They're not respecting the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. And they're not respecting the Supreme Court, which ruled in 2008 in the Heller versus D.C. case that their unconstitutional law about carrying loaded weapons in Washington, D.C. was invalid and unconstitutional. But what we're seeing now is a new twist on unconstitutional, unlawful enforcement of laws. We also see now a new twist of a jurisdictional move. Here we've got a situation where Adam Kokesh exercises civil disobedience in a Washington park, and they come after him in an area outside of that jurisdiction using the federal police. So the federal police are enforcing an unconstitutional D.C. law that has been struck down by the Supreme Court. In our article on InfoWars, Adam Kokesh, raided by stormtrooper cops, says numerous police vehicles, including light armored vehicle and two low-flying helicopters, barricaded Adam's street. More than 20 armored SWAT team members surrounded the house, as well as a number of detectives and plainclothes officers. Assault rifles were aimed on all members of the team as they were handcuffed without being told why they were being detained. Masked and armored police, and why they wear masks, because they're not obeying the law, and full stormtrooper gear flooded in and ransacked the residence. The team was cordoned in a front room while Adam was pulled aside for questioning, and of course he was kicked as well while he was handcuffed, we also learned. The raid was conducted by Herndon Police as well as U.S. Parks Police, an arm of Homeland Security. And there's an image on the article there that shows media trucks in place to broadcast news of the raid instantly. Kokesh's Facebook page writes, "How nice of the police to tell the media beforehand that we were going to get raided." Well, this is essentially what happened in Waco. If you remember, the media was told that the raid was going to go on. And as a matter of fact, the code word for the beginning of the Waco raid was showtime. That's why we have video of the beginning of the assault of the Waco homestead there. Now, that same mainstream media dutifully reported what they were supposed to do to report the government's side of the story. Even the Washington Times, which is a conservative paper, in their story refers to it as what Adam Kokesh did, as not as civil disobedience, but as a stunt. Here's a quote from their article, "Activists arrested after loading shotgun in Freedom Plaza." They said, "A controversial internet talk show host was arrested at his home in Herndon on Tuesday night after a videotaped July 4th stunt in which he loaded a shotgun in the district's Freedom Plaza, a violation of the city's gun laws." Now, the Washington Post didn't really talk so much about the gun laws. They mentioned that briefly, but they focused on the charges that he has a hallucinogenic mushroom in conjunction with having firearms there. The Washington Post's headline is, "Adam Kokesh charged with possessing hallucinogenic mushrooms." U.S. Park Police Lieutenant Pamela Smith said her agency executed a search warrant at Kokesh's home in Herndon about 7:45 p.m. Tuesday looking for a weapon. Carrying a loaded weapon, concealed or unconcealed, is against the law in the district. But he was not in the district. One roommate, Ed Yealy, said he was punched in the back of the head by an officer. They estimated 30 to 40 officers participated in the raid, said that clothes were dumped in the center of one bedroom, a mattress was pushed up against the wall. They were there for over 5 hours, drilling through a safe, doing various things, just basically doing everything they could to find anything they could pin on Adam Kokesh. And it reminds me of what Stalin said, or one of his lieutenants, "Bring me the man, and I'll find the crime. You have enough time with somebody, especially when you look at the thousands upon thousands of laws that are in this country, you can pretty much pin anything on anybody, given enough time and given access. I mean, certainly we all know that Adam has no respect for the illegal, unconstitutional war on drugs, but it's not beyond comprehension that they could have planted these mushrooms there. He may have had them there, he may not have had, but in 5 hours they could pretty much plant anything they want to there. Now, charging documents, this is also reported from the Washington Post, charging documents filed in the court Wednesday morning said that Kokesh was charged with possession of hallucinogenic mushrooms, a Schedule I narcotic, while possessing a firearm. Possession of a Schedule I or II drug is a felony in Virginia, punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a maximum of $2,500 fine. If convicted of possession of the drugs while also in possession of a firearm, he would face an additional minimum of 2 years in prison. Well, basically, Adam has put it here on the line, and we really appreciate his act of civil disobedience. It's very important that when the government is acting in a criminal manner, essentially the same thing that happened with Ed Snowden. Here's a person who is being vilified as a criminal, being hunted down by the U.S. government, and yet what he did was expose criminal actions by the U.S. government. He didn't send trade secrets to another country for profit or personal gain. What he was doing was exposing criminal actions by our own government. And when the people who do the right thing, like Snowden, when people who do the right thing, like Kokesh, it's Kokesh who is obeying the law. It's Kokesh who is illustrating that the Constitution says one thing, the Supreme Court says the same thing, and the District of Columbia says something else. But I want you to think about how this is treated differently. Look at the case of the football player for the New England Patriots, Hernandez, who was arrested. Now, they didn't kick his door down. They didn't stay there and bully people in his household for 5 hours. Instead, they just came in and arrested him. Also, look at the difference in the way they treated NBC's David Gregory. If you remember, as part of a newscast, he held up a firearm that was prohibited under DC's gun laws. And for holding that up, he could have faced, for having possession of it, he could have faced a $1,000 fine and a year in jail. And certainly other people as part of the news crew could have been exposed to that. And yet the attorney general in District of Columbia said he wasn't going to press charges for them because they're their partners in the mainstream media. So it brings up the whole question of equal protection under the law and how the elites, the government, and the media are treated by a different standard than the rest of us. And as a final example, take a look at this story from InfoWars just today, that a Democratic aide brings a gun into a courthouse and receives nothing but a ticket. Security officers at a federal building in downtown Detroit found a gun in the purse of Betty Petrenz, Conyers' office manager. Bringing weapons into a government building is strictly prohibited, but she received no sentence or formal punishment, only a ticket that will be stricken from her record if she demonstrates good behavior. So I guess the good behavior would just be being an aide for Congressman Conyers. So there's one set of rules for the elite, one set of rules for the politicians and the political class and their cohorts in the media that they alert whenever there's going to be any raids so they can get a good photo op out of it. And then there's a different standard for the rest of us. It's kind of like the ruling class versus the sheeple. And you can see that very clearly if you look at another example, let's say John Corzine. Now, Corzine is not going to be facing criminal charges over MF Global. And this is from an article in InfoWars today. He said, if you are a billionaire, former Goldman Sachs CEO, ex-governor, and one of Obama's biggest donors, and you steal $1.2 billion directly from the accounts of your customers, and you cover up that theft, you are not a criminal. But if you reveal the unconstitutional spying on all American citizens by the government, you are a traitor and face life imprisonment. Or, in the case of Adam Kokesh, you point out that the District of Columbia is violating the Constitution and a Supreme Court decision. I'm going to keep repeating that. Then you are a criminal, not the District of Columbia, not Police Chief Kathy Lanier. The article goes on to say, the criminal probe into whether there's wrongdoing on the part of Corzine by the Department of Justice will now be dropped due to lack of evidence, said a report in the New York Post, citing a person with knowledge of the matter. Now, how is this different from Bernie Madoff? Bernie Madoff, if you remember, built customers out of $10 billion approximately. Well, $18 billion. Corzine has, according to one count, over 27,000 commodity customers' claims totaling over $10 billion, with more than 1,000 securities customer claims totaling $1.4 billion. So that's still being determined. But in one case, you have someone who doesn't have political connections like Corzine, a former governor and senator, and you've got somebody who is well-connected politically. One person goes to jail for stealing $18 billion. The other person speculates and loses $10 billion and absconds with billions of dollars, and nothing happens to him. That's the difference between the ruling class and the sheeple. And, of course, we have another example of this in Iowa. This story from the Daily Journal in Iowa says some cities with traffic cameras are giving a pass to the Iowa governor's SUV, whose plates aren't on file. If Governor Terry Branstad's state vehicle speeds through Iowa's two largest cities, the driver could enjoy a perk that tens of thousands of other motorists would envy, a break from the aggressive photo enforcement of speeding and red light violations. The SUV's status, in which its license plates are not included in police databases, came to light last week in records related to a high-speed pursuit in April, where state police officers had no idea whom they were following at up to 90 miles per hour. After that incident, a state agent complained to superiors that the governor's vehicle routinely speeds, putting public safety at risk, and should not be treated differently than ordinary citizens. Well, of course, this is something that has been going on for quite some time. This is just the new technological version of this, where the database is already pre-set up to just ignore it so that nothing ever happens, instead of just throwing out the tickets or telling the police officers not to give tickets to the governor. So he's free to drive 90 miles an hour through the lights, whatever he wants to do, and it's just a non-event because he's part of the ruling elite. Now, in another example, look at how much differently they treat you and I. Look at the contempt that they have for the common citizens. In New York City today, the feds are exposing subway riders to a chemical gas, and they admit ignorance to health effects. The New York City Metropolitan Transit Authority supposedly released a notice to subway passengers, not only thanking them for being gassed lab rats, but also admitting that they weren't fully aware of what the gas exposure health effects would be. Now, this is from a flyer that was reported to be from the MTA. We find out later that it really wasn't. But listen to this. It's actually more frank and more honest than what the MTA and the New York Police Department put out. And we're going to talk about how these two basically compare to each other. This one is very truthful, and we'll contrast that with what the New York Police Department and the Metropolitan Transit Authority put out. Now, in the false flyer, what it said was, thank you for writing the MTA. They don't thank anybody in their original, in their press release. At this time, we would like to thank you for participating in a joint study conducted by the New York Police Department and Brookhaven National Laboratory, sponsored by the Department of Defense. We still do not fully understand the health effects of perfluorocarbon gas exposure, though exposure to perfluorocarbons are linked to the early onset of menopause. Studies in animals have found these gases significantly alter liver and thyroid function, increase the risk for tumors, and cause failure in reproductive organs. These gases are being dispersed as a test for your protection against unwarranted chemical attacks. Now, that's true. Every bit of that is true. And it is also, you can find that on the internet. You can see that the effects of perfluorocarbons are exactly that. They cause fertility problems, they cause the early onset of menopause, and they cause an increase of tumors and cancer. But you won't find that information in the official release from the government. Instead, what they have is a study. It's called the S-Safe study, or I guess it's kind of a safe study. It's kind of a stuttering there because they know that it's not true. And they're talking about, in their press release, they're proud of the fact that they got $3.4 million from the Department of Homeland Defense. And they tell you that these are harmless tracer gases that they're detecting being sprayed out. Now, put this in perspective. We're told that we need to go to war against Syria because the Syrian government released gases on its citizens. And Russia today has put forth some evidence that says that those gases that were released were actually released by the rebels that the U.S. government is supporting. But the U.S. government itself can release gases that cause early onset of menopause, cause infertility, and cause tumors, and yet there's no problem with that. That's the double standard that we're looking at. And it's very similar to what we saw happen last fall with the EPA. The EPA conducted illegal human experimentation, and that's what this is. This is illegal human experimentation. They're exposing people to gases that they know are harmful, and yet doing it anyway. The only difference is that at least when the EPA was doing it, they were monitoring the people to see what happened. They're just exposing in New York millions of people during the day. They could very easily, if they wanted to test the gases, they could use something that is not harmful. They could also do it at a time when there's not a lot of people there, but they choose to do it at rush hour so they can expose the most number of people. Criminal actions. Same thing we saw from the EPA. And when the EPA did this, they were exposing people, if you remember, to particulate matter that they had said that the administrator of the EPA, Lisa Jackson, had said was fatal. She emphasized that it wasn't a level that was going to make people sick. It was a level that would kill them. Now, fortunately, she was lying about that, but they were looking for people with respiratory and cardiac problems so these people would have an event and they could justify regulations that were more strict than the ones that they had. The problem was that they were exposing people to 70 times, in some cases, the level that the EPA had said was unsafe, just trying to get more strict regulations. Now, why is the Department of Defense and the New York Police Department doing this in New York City? We don't know. Supposedly, it's for your safety. Everything that they do to us, supposedly, is for our safety. Now, the April flyer that was put out mentioned that these were perfluorocarbons. This is from the April flyer. It said that they will support Brookhaven. They were talking about how in 3 months, in July, they were going to do this. They will support Brookhaven scientists tracking the movement of harmless tracer gases. But then they identify these quote-unquote harmless gases as perfluorocarbon tracer gases. They said they present no health or environmental hazard. They are non-toxic, inert, odorless, invisible, and have been used in airflow studies since the 1980s. Except that if you look at other government sites, you will see that they have the effects that we were talking about infertility and that sort of thing. Now, for more information about what our government is doing in terms of eugenics and sterilization, here's a report from Gigi Arnetta.
The U.S. government has been busy denying their big brother behavior in our daily lives, but they can't deny their involvement in eugenics. Here's the latest.
A new and investigative report shows that nearly 150 females were sterilized between 2006 and 2010 by doctors under contract with the California Department of Corrections. One prisoner who worked in the infirmary overheard medical staff encouraging multiple offenders to be sterilized. Although federal and state laws ban prisoner sterilizations with federal monies, California used state funds. The San Francisco Gate shows a map of California's role similar to the Nazis' goal of purification and the state's contribution to eugenics. California was the second state to pass eugenics laws in 1909, 2 years after Indiana made it legal to sterilize the feeble-minded. According to the University of Virginia bioethicist Paul Lombardo, Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger opened the first birth control clinic in 1916, and in 1934 she was quoted saying, "America needs a code for babies. The purpose of the American Baby Code should be to provide for a better distribution of babies, to assist couples who wish to prevent overproduction of offspring, and thus to reduce the burden of charity and taxation for the public relief, and to protect society against the propagation and increase of the unfit." More quotes from Margaret Sanger. "The most merciful thing that a family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." Here's another one from Margaret Sanger. "Birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race." Moving forward, presidential frontrunner for 2016, Hillary Clinton, was awarded the Margaret Sanger Award in March of 2009 and claimed to be in awe of her.
"I admire Margaret Sanger enormously, her courage, her tenacity, her vision. I am really in awe of her."
All this is just more evidence that our government likes to play God. Not only are they sterilizing human beings, but now they've moved on to our pets. The U.S. government is scheduled to start testing a new vaccine to sterilize dogs.
The government vaccine, Gonacon, is scheduled to be tested in September on 2 Indian reservations. In the Gonacon tests, dogs will be caught, microchipped, tattooed, collared, injected, and released, says spay and neuter expert Ruth Steinberger.
Their idea is to control the dog population. Population control? What happened to our government just governing? Secure your copy of the new DVD, State of Mind, today at InfoWarsShop.com. You can get it on Blu-ray or DVD at InfoWarsShop.com. I'm Gigi Urnetta with your InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
Well, it wasn't just the banksters at the top of the banking system that profited from massive fraud with TARP and other bailouts. We find out that the corruption was actually systemic. Although it was being directed by those at the top, we find out that even employees at lower levels were profiting from fraudulent behavior. InfoWars reports today, bonuses were given to Bank of America employees for home foreclosures. Bank of America employees in the mortgage servicing unit systematically lied to homeowners, fraudulently denied loan modifications, and paid staff bonuses for foreclosing on people's homes. Now, this is part of the Home Affordable Modification Program, HAMF, which was supposed to lower homeowners' monthly payments so they could afford their payments and sustain their home for the long term. Borrowers were supposed to make 3 trial payments before loan modification became permanent. Instead, the borrowers were left making trial payments for up to 1 year and then were rejected for permanent modification. Homeowners were left owing the difference between the trial modification and the original payment. Bank of America employees were told to lie to customers, telling them their files were incomplete or missing when they weren't. The delay and rejection programs were methodically carried out under the overall direction of Patrick Carey, a vice president of Bank of America, who oversaw the entire Eastern region's loan modification process. This is very similar to what we reported on just a week or two ago about the Irish banksters doing a rope-a-dope on the Irish government and taxpayers, telling them that it was a small amount of money that they needed for a bailout. I think they just, as he said, he pulled a figure out of his arse, is the way he put it, of $7 billion. He just made that figure up. And they were caught talking to each other on the phone with some recordings, laughing about how they just made this figure up, knowing that it was much higher. It turned out it was more along the lines of 30 billion pounds, not 7 billion pounds. And it nearly bankrupted the Irish government, certainly put a tremendous burden on the taxpayers. Well, this is essentially the same thing done to individual homeowners. If you remember, the original TARP program was set up to help people with their mortgage payments. Congressmen were told and senators were told by the Treasury Department and by other bankers that they were going to have martial law if they didn't have a TARP program. But rather than relieve anybody of the mortgage that they could have paid off 75% of all the mortgages, instead, the bankers kept all the mortgages, paid themselves large bonuses, and are using things like the HAMP program to trick people. Rather than relieve people of their mortgage obligations or rather than helping them, the bankers were actually tricking them into getting farther in debt, getting behind in their payments, so they could then take the homes in foreclosure. Now, we have a video here from Germany that is actually it was descriptive of what had been going on in the United States, but it was actually also prophetic about some news that came out today. Take a look at this. This is an individual who sets up a bunch of equipment in his van, and he's actually calls himself a light artist, and he projects this image here of Kim.com, and above him it says United Stasi of America. And it's pointing out that the United States government is acting exactly like the Stasi. Now, he projected this on the U.S. Embassy in Berlin. They know exactly what the Stasi is about in Berlin. The difference is that between the Stasi and what we've got today is, of course, at the time, the Stasi reportedly had over half of the population reporting on each other. And, of course, that's what it looks like we're going to have here as Obama is ordering government workers to spy on one another. An InfoWars story says this is where the bureaucratic snake starts to eat itself. Basically, it works like this. Watch your coworkers, and if they're acting the slightest bit strange, one had better report them or face disciplinary or even legal action. Now, here's the actual memo from DeFuhrer, Obama and his minions here. They said this went out to federal employees. Federal employees and contractors are asked to pay particular attention to the lifestyles, attitudes, and behaviors, like financial troubles, odd working hours, or unexplained travel, of their coworkers as a way to predict whether they might do harm to the United States. Managers of special insider threat offices will have regular, timely, and if possible, electronic access to employees' personnel, payroll, disciplinary, and personal contact files, as well as records of their use of classified and unclassified computer networks, polygraph results, travel reports, and financial disclosure forms. Isn't that amazing? Truly is an Orwellian state. Unlike the Stasi, though, the Stasi, as I said, reportedly had more than half of the people as informants, but they didn't have a way to mine the data. They collected all this information, but it really wasn't that useful to them because they couldn't process it. That's not what we have today in our modern technocracy. They have the ability to process and store everything, and they have the ability to data mine and correlate that information, which makes our Fedcoats, our Stasi, our United Stasi of America, far more dangerous than any tyranny that has ever been in the history of the world. The entire framework has been set. They have created for themselves a supposedly legal framework that has been set up by secret courts where we have no arguments on the other side. We can't see what those decisions are, but in their imagination, they believe that they have modified the Constitution and our fundamental rights and liberties, which themselves transcend the Constitution. They're not granted by the Constitution. They are recognized by the Constitution. But our government believes that they have fundamentally transformed the legal framework. They have the technological framework in position. And what we're looking at is a high-tech dictatorship potential that is unlike anything the world has ever seen in history. Now, look at how they divide and conquer people with manufactured dissent. This article from Pajama Media says, newly released documents detail the Department of Justice's role in organizing a Trayvon Martin protests. This was Judicial Watch filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the Department of Justice back in April. And what they learned was a very little known Department of Justice unit called the Community Relations Service. Sounds a lot like community organizers, doesn't it? Or community agitators. And what they found is that this Community Relations Service was being funded and actually deployed was the term that they used. And in March 25th, they have a timeline here from these FOIA request documents. They were actually deployed to Sanford, Florida back in March. And they were being funded from various amounts from $500 or $600 to about $1,200 each event. They were being deployed to basically foment conflict between different people, different groups. What we have here is, as they've said, never let a crisis go to waste. This is something that was just too good for our government to pass up, because here they have an opportunity to pit one racial group against another, to put it in those terms, which is really what it's taken on, as well as attacking the Second Amendment all at once. So our federal government couldn't pass up that opportunity, so they create an organization, a little unit, to go down and to do things like providing support for protest deployment. They provide technical assistance to the city of Sanford, event organizers, and law enforcement agencies for the march and for a rally on March 31st. They provide technical assistance and conciliation, on-site mediation during demonstrations. This is absolutely amazing. They provide technical assistance for preparation of possible marches and rallies related to fatal shooting of a 17-year-old African-American male. And they mentioned that several times in here, that it's about an African-American male, because that's a big part of it, doing a race war, trying to set up conflict, divide and conquer, separating people into competing groups, left and right, black and white. But what's the biggest lie that our federal government tells us? Well, they want us to believe that there is a trade-off between liberty and security, that there's some zero-sum game. And certainly we can trade our liberty thinking that we're going to get security, but we don't. And as we see that trade-off increasingly being put out there by the federal government, we start to believe that they're opposites of each other, that you can't be secure if you don't have liberty, and that if you're going to be secure, you have to give it up. But the real opposite of liberty is not security. The real opposite of liberty is slavery, because when you give up all of your liberties, you're going to be a slave. And slaves never have any security. Some people are starting to understand this. In an InfoWars article, poll shows massive swing in public view of terror and liberty trade-off. It says a new scientific poll out this week finds that former NSA leaker Ed Snowden is viewed by the majority of Americans in a positive light as a whistleblower and not as a traitor, as the mainstream media and government officials would like to have it. When given two options, 55% of poll respondents said they believed him to be a whistleblower, while only 34% saw him as a traitor. But here's the more interesting aspect, I believe, of this article. Perhaps a more telling revelation from the poll is the fact that by a 45% to 40% margin, voters now believe that the government goes too far in restricting civil liberties in the name of anti-terrorism efforts. And if you saw that graph that we were showing, that's a dramatic turnaround. The blue is people who believe that liberty is more important. And you can see they were vastly outnumbered by the people in red earlier on who believe that security should predominate in that kind of a trade-off. Again, it's a false trade-off. It's a false deal. You will never get security from liberty. And fortunately now in this latest poll, we see that over half of the people realize that they're not getting any more security for the freedoms that they've lost. Hopefully we're going to see a change in that. Well, that's it for our tonight's news. We'd like to tell you about a new book that we're just starting to carry. It's called Breakthrough. And it's about the guerrilla war that is being conducted by James O'Keefe and his organization. And it's how they're, it's a great book here. We just started carrying it at InfoWarsStore.com. It's their guerrilla war to expose fraud and to save the democracy is a subtitle on it. And if you want to help expose fraud and save our democracy, you can support us here at InfoWars at PrisonPlanet.tv. Get a subscription for yourself and 10 other people to use simultaneously. That helps to support the operation and it helps to spread the news. Well, that's it for tonight's news. Stick around after the break. We have Paul Watson interviewing Silke Carlo. So stay tuned for that. Now you can watch the InfoWars nightly news streaming live as it happens for free.
Check it out at InfoWars.com/show.
Are we choosing our own paths, our own destiny, or has it been pre-selected for us?
C.S. Lewis said, when training beats education, civilization dies.
We need to always be cognizant of, as a free society, that information can be used as a weapon.
Barrier to discovery is not ignorance. It's the illusion of knowledge.
We are seen as nothing but biological androids.
To gain control of education in America, not for a philanthropic purpose, but to change the thinking of the American people.
From the time we're very young, we're taught to, you know, worship authority, basically, because that's our key to survival as young children.
Discover the history, the present, and the future of mind control. From compulsory state education to the Hollywood media brainwashing machine, we are kept in perpetual bondage to the ideas that shape our actions.
In the CIA, scientists could actually film people who had been surreptitiously dosed with LSD.
There's a brain entrainment process that takes place.
That gives the government free rein to create whatever story or narrative it wants to create.
Whatever the public face of something is, whatever they're talking about publicly, there's something else over here they're probably not looking at.
How to engineer the opinion of the American people so that they would fully endorse, not only endorse, but demand a war.
When you watch mainline establishment television, you are putting yourself in front of the barrel of a gun.
Discover the history, the present, and the future of mind control, psychological warfare, brainwashing. Are we controlled and manipulated? You bet.
That's mind control par excellence.
Find out how deep the rabbit hole really goes with this new groundbreaking documentary film, State of Mind. Available exclusively at InfoWars.com.
Because there's a war on for your mind. That has been our motto here at InfoWars for my 18 years of battle against the globalist. And now we see the open announcements of global, private, corporate tyranny over our governments. That's what the New World Order is. It's an unaccountable private combine of organized crime engaged in corporate takeovers of nation states and the conscious attempt to abolish basic rights and fundamental liberties. Infowars.com is not just leading the charge against this here in the U.S. or North America. We are leading the charge worldwide. And that's because our listeners, our viewers, our supporters, fellow freedom lovers like you across the planet resonate with our message of liberty and telling it like it is. And that's why for the last 2 years especially, I have thrown everything I've got, my time, my energy, our backup capital, everything into really trying to awaken the sleeping giant that is humanity. And that's why the July issue that just came in a few days ago is so important. We've already sold about half the stock we have of it at cost in groups of 10 up to 100 in bulk. It covers the entire NSA spy grid, how it ties in worldwide, how it's not about stopping terrorists, but about suppressing and dominating and controlling the free press and political opposition. And in this magazine, we don't just have three free bumper stickers like I did a few months ago. We have 10 bumper stickers, four full-size ones with amazing messages guaranteed to get people thinking like America has been occupied by globalist forces. Infowars.com. Listen to Alex Jones at Infowars.com. Infowars.com. Forbidden information. Listen to Alex Jones. Infowars.com. And then on top of it, six medium-sized bumper stickers with the message as well. These are key to post in legal and lawful areas on your book bag, your computer, your car, or to give friends and family. I have printed 500,000 of these bumper stickers. Only half of this month's run of magazines has them. So when you purchase them in bulk or you're a 12-month subscriber, you will get the special issue. And I can't afford to do this every month, so it's going to be quite a while until we do this again. Please take advantage of this. Buy them in bulk and give them to your friends and family and encourage them to get these bumper stickers out, because with 500,000 stickers, we can reach tens of millions of people with the message of truth. They want to collectivize us. They want to bankrupt us. They want to drive us into their arms to control us. They want to dumb us down. But the sleeping giant that is free humanity is awakening. So I want to thank you all for your support. I want to encourage everybody to go to InfoWarsStore.com and to get a 12-month subscription or to give a gift subscription. Imagine 12 of these coming to your friends or family's door to wake them up. Or to give a gift subscription to the local police department or your local congressman or woman. This is how we're going to affect change, voting with our dollars and voting with our time. Again, visit InfoWarsStore.com today to subscribe, to get the magazine in bulk, or to give a gift subscription, or to give yourself a subscription to wake up friends and family. I am all in. I am committed 110% to not mince words and to not back off and to boldly confront the globalist. And our listeners and supporters are who aren't behind us, they're right beside us. So I want to thank all of you that have supported us in the past, and I want to encourage all of you out there who may be on the fence, that know this information is true, but have been scared to take action. You had better be scared of not taking action and letting this monstrous system come to fruition. Now is the time to commit. Now is the time to say which side of history you're on. Now is the time to stand against the globalist and the New World Order. And regardless of whether you get this July issue, this July 4th Resistance to Tyrants issue, spread the word about liberty, resist corruption in your area. Millions of us doing little things can move mountains together. I'm Alex Jones, signing off for InfoWars.com and the InfoWars team.
We're back on InfoWars Nightly News, and I'm delighted to be joined by activist and Cambridge University graduate Silke Carlo. Of course, many of you will recognize her as the lead organizer of last month's Bilderberg Fringe Festival. Silke, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Paul.
Good to have you on. So we're going to try and break down this as succinctly as possible, which is difficult because it's a complex subject. But you conducted two studies as part of your degree at Cambridge, which relate to how people psychologically rationalize information, which basically poses a threat to the system in their minds. And the first one concerned WikiLeaks. So just walk us through that first study and what the findings were.
Yeah, basically, I looked at psychological responses to whistleblowing, because I had a theory that information that comes from within the system is probably quite persuasive at making people critical of the system. It's information you can't really argue with if it's leaked information. So what I did to test this was, I gave participants some real WikiLeaks, and I used two. I used one, which was the Guantanamo Bay Standard Operating Procedure Manual, which some of you will have seen recently. Mos Def did was force-fed as per the Standard Operating Procedure recently. You see the video online. And the other WikiLeak that I used was the collateral murder video, showing a Baghdad airstrike where innocent civilians were killed and children were shot at.
Yeah.
And so what we did was manipulate the sourcing. Some people were told that this is from WikiLeaks, and some people were just told this is from a government archive. You find that this information, leaked information, does make people more critical of the system. It does actually delegitimize the system. But when it's sourced to WikiLeaks, when people know that it's been leaked, they experience a cognitive dissonance and they have to justify the system. And so it actually stops that content from being persuasive.
So if it's sourced to WikiLeaks, they're basically more likely to justify it, to trust the establishment to downplay it, to rationalize it.
Yes, I think basically because WikiLeaks poses a system threat. It's a rebellious organization, and people beneath the level of their own awareness will justify the broader system, the social political system that they live in, to kind of restore their sense of safety and consistency in the world that they know and understand. We actually find that people on the whole support whistleblowing. And when you give when you show people WikiLeaks and they know that it's from WikiLeaks, they support civil liberties more, than you do if you're just told that this is something from the government. So we can see that they're having a positive effect explicitly when people say what they think they think, but then actually implicitly in their views about the kind of wider political world around them, they actually become quite defensive of the system that they live in.
Right, so when presented with the source being WikiLeaks, that serves to some extent to delegitimize the credibility of the content. So what can we do as alternative media, you know, as bloggers and activists, to shift that public psyche and counter this cognitive dissonance?
That's what I've been trying to find out with my research, and I do think that WikiLeaks definitely plays a role. Because the main thing is the information is important, right? So having leaked information out there about controversies from within the system does change people's mind, and obviously it's important for a variety of moral reasons as well. And particularly, I have to say, when the terror threat is deemed to be low. So, and we found in a subgroup of people, those who believe that the threat from terrorism is low, they're more persuaded by this information as well. So one of the things that we need to do is reduce fear. A big thing that we need to do for alternative media is you just keep going. That's the main thing. And the narratives will change. The more that we talk about controversies and corruption, then the popular narratives will change. And as that happens, our sense of shared reality will change. And that's a really important thing in this research, I think, is that broadcasters like the BBC have a really powerful way of making everyone believe in the same kind of reality. And so if we have communities where information is democratized, then our understanding of shared reality will be different, and then you won't be so disrespected for being a dissident, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed that there's this meme amongst the establishment psychology people, which specifically back in 2009, there was a big hit piece on Alex Jones, which basically said that if you believe in a cabal of powerful people who wield influence, which is the perfect description for Bilderberg, which we just saw a month ago, then that's somehow a mental disorder, and that, you know, people considered hostile to authority and are now being tagged as sufferers of oppositional defiant disorder. So I've noticed this trend to marginalize thinking that powerful people run the world as some kind of harebrained idea that only, you know, basement dwelling conspiracy theorists believe in, which is, you know, that's completely off the charts, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. And I think what comes out of this research as well about system justification and cognitive dissonance is, you know, none of us are actually immune to it. We all engage, we all have this to some extent. For example, those of us that love privacy and we're still on Facebook, you know, we do negotiate our views in certain ways. And I think psychologists are probably subject to it as well. And there's no way that you can brandish a whole political movement, which actually is very, very loosely defined, as being mentally ill. I mean, what we're actually seeing here in system justification theory, which applies to, like I say, it's pervasive throughout the public. It is a real evident form of irrationality. You know, the public on a large scale are suffering from political irrationality. And I think the data that I found elucidates that really well. The same content, but with a different source, very, very slightly different. Either it's from WikiLeaks or it's directly from government archives. Same thing, they're both true, but just the method of access is different. And people respond very differently.
And you talk about this system justifying response being, quote, beneath the level of awareness, despite the fact that your studies show people generally favour whistleblowers. So what psychological trait would you identify as being responsible for that apparent dichotomy where people are generally impressed by people like Edward Snowden, yet still go to this system justifying response as a kind of psychological defence mechanism? What's driving that?
That's exactly what it is, really. It's a form of cognitive dissonance. It's the inability to match two different thoughts and two different, you know, different experiences. On the one hand, you want to live your life in a world that is consistent and safe and coherent and makes sense. And on the other hand, you're finding out that you're being spied on 24/7 by a global panopticon. I mean, how do you match the two, and how do you stay comfortable in your own life? So that's really where the defense mechanism comes in, and it does operate beneath the level of awareness. And I think the other thing as well there is still, we're going back to psychological research from the 60s, but obedience to authority. And that still stands, unfortunately. I mean, I've seen attitudinal changes, not only from my research on WikiLeaks, but also my research with InfoWars. But when it comes to it, although people's attitudes might change, their behaviours might tend to stay the same, which is generally being compliant with the system.
And we know, as you mentioned, obedience to authority goes back to the Milgram experiment, where people are actually, they would follow orders to kill other people if told to do so by an authority figure in a majority of cases, which is what that research found back in the 60s. But in terms of Edward Snowden, news just coming out that he's probably heading to Venezuela, by the way. But we've seen even prominent individuals within the alternative media, people like Naomi Wolf and Webster Tarpley, who have posited the notion that the entire Edward Snowden story is somehow a, you know, limited hangout operation, or that the whole thing is a convoluted plot between the NSA or the CIA, that Snowden may be a double agent or still working for the CIA. Why do you think there's a tendency amongst I'd call it a hardcore minority of individuals within the truth movement or alternative media, to constantly cast suspicions on the motivations of people like Edward Snowden and Julian Assange?
That's a really good question, and one we'd do well to be able to answer, really. I think on the one hand, particularly for grassroots activists, I think we get into a pattern of failure. I think we actually develop a real addiction to failure. Our kind of schema about our challenge and our world is that, you know, we're the underdogs and the system is bad. And so at all times that paradigm is the same, and we don't really make room for any wins within that. And that's really sad, because that shows how much people are disempowered, that they can't actually believe it when something like this comes along. Another one of the issues, I think, is the amount of disinformation that's around online, and probably matched by some, I have to say, just quite frankly, with a lack of critical thinking, because the information to suggest that Assange or Snowden are double agents or whatever in any way is pretty thin, to say the least. And perhaps another thing is a kind of, by focusing on controversies and corruption so much, perhaps this kind of cultivates a paranoia or a severe distrust of that goes much broader than just governments.
Well, with Snowden and Assange, you could look at two factors. A, with Snowden, he's given one media interview. You know, he could have been interviewed by every major media outlet in the world. He's turned them all down, which shows you that he's not doing it for his own self-aggrandizement, which is what a charge that a lot of people have leveled at Assange. And then in the case of Assange, you know, he's been holed up in that Ecuadorian embassy for over a year now. If he was a CIA double agent, surely they'd have given him safe passage and all would be fine and dandy. But as you said, these suspicions are always cast. It's kind of a loser mentality. It's this idea that anybody who's successful in standing up for freedom, or anybody who merely attracts media attention, must somehow be compromised. And if you take that to its extreme, then, as you said, we're never going to achieve anything. We're always going to be in this loser mentality of anyone who's successful, we have to denigrate them, we have to tear them down. It's you know, it's still a minority view, but it is a kind of cancer in the truth movement at the moment.
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, my goodness, you only have to look at the information that Snowden and Assange, in their different efforts, have provided for us at great personal risk to themselves. You know, entirely sacrificed their freedoms, basically. And, you know, why are people like Naomi Wolf even bothering to write articles like that when we've just found out that we are living in a global panopticon? This is a surveillance globe. I mean, it's just the most unbelievable revelation. I would expect people to be up in arms. You would just expect there to be so much more of a moral outrage about this. As if it feels a little bit like we learnt nothing from the Stasi at the moment. And so the fact that people's first thought is saying, Snowden, who's this guy giving us information that kind of turns the world upside down? To be honest, it's probably another defence mechanism. It's another way of not dealing with the reality or with the information that we've been provided.
Moving on to the second study you did, basically, as far as I understand it from reading the abstract, you presented a group of people with articles about airport body scanners, but again mixed the source of the articles between BBC News and InfoWars. So tell us what you discovered in that study.
Yeah, this was back in 2010 when the airport naked body scanners was quite a big issue at the time. So I took an article from InfoWars and an article from BBC on the topics, and then I would swap the sourcing around, did a bit of photoshopping, so I would make an InfoWars article look like it was actually from the BBC and vice versa, and I had a look at how people reacted differently when one of your articles was actually sourced as being from the BBC. And what we found was that in general, actually, the content of the InfoWars article made people, again, choose civil liberties more. They favoured civil liberties more over security. And people were less convinced by airport body scanners. But the effect was much greater when the InfoWars article looked as if it was from the BBC. So, for example, when I asked people, would you comply with an airport body scan? You know, the naked body scan, which is the real issue, really. It's not just the attitude, it's the behaviour. Would you actually go through with the scan? 20% of people said that they wouldn't when they read the InfoWars article. But when I made it look as if it's from the BBC, 30% of people said that they wouldn't. And again, this feeds into this idea of shared reality. People thought when they were reading the BBC that the wider public would agree with their view. And it's kind of sanctions that response then. It kind of, you don't feel like such an outsider or such a dissident. You can actually, that information actually became a lot more persuasive.
Yeah, and that kind of explains the, you know, even though trust in mainstream media is in decline across the Western world, they just had new ratings out of CNBC and, of course, MSNBC have both hit new rating lows. But still, you describe this autoimmune response against alternative media. So, I mean, explain that. We've got declining trust in mainstream, but people are still kind of averse to alternative media. What's the process behind that? Is it just the shared reality concept again?
Yeah, it's partly the shared reality. I think it's partly kind of having to build up the trust in new sources. But it will change very fast. And that's why I did this specific research on system justification with new forms of media. Because I think probably now, if I were to replicate that study, it's only 2 or 3 years on, I think I'd find something very different. And I think the same goes for the WikiLeaks studies, especially since Snowden. So in general, you know, alternative media is becoming the mainstream media in the sense of it being so widely accessed and widely viewed. And that will change then the way that we justify the system. You know, information is being democratized on a massive scale. And it also, the really important thing about alternative media is, as we build trust in it, it will allow us to know when we should be distrusting the mainstream media as well, actually. Because it gives a diverse amount of viewpoints and criticizes the mainstream media when it needs to be.
And that's not to say that you should just trust all alternative media implicitly, because there's just a ton of disinformation out there. I see it on a daily basis. But as you said, there's this democratization of information. There's more information available than ever before. And I think people are generally hungry for somebody offering them a definitive opinion, because we see this emphasis on balance in the mainstream media. You know, they hop on about balance all day, when in fact there are some issues that are basically cut and dried. They don't require balance. They require calling a spade a spade. A good example would be the recent scandal involving James Clapper, who was basically caught lying in front of Congress when he said the NSA did not wittingly collect data on Americans. He was held to task by that, by people like Rand Paul, but the mainstream media gave him a pass. So in maintaining this balanced narrative, even when something is reasonably cut and dry, that only discredits them further, doesn't it? And that's why I see alternative media growing and growing.
Yeah, I've seen this happen increasingly over the years, where the mainstream media is like a voice of officialdom. It repeats government lines. So at the moment, you would think, well, where is the enormous outcry about the NSA GCHQ scandal? Like you said, let's call a spade. Let's start to discuss its legality. But it just doesn't seem to be something that's really possible in the mainstream media. It's just, they just parrot, the official statements that are given, and they just parrot the, validation of this being an anti-terror measure. I mean, like, why has no one questioned why this surveillance state is in place? Is it really for anti-terrorism? Are you really going to find those needles in the haystack? You know, is everyone really talking, designing enormous terrorist plans via email without encryption, which you can get in like 1 hour? And even so, if these terrorists are using emails, then you would get a warrant for it anyway. You know, it's just absolutely absurd that the mainstream media haven't been more, like you said, calling a spade and actually looking at the reality of the situation rather than just parroting what the government says.
And on top of that, there's a complete ignorance that the terror threat itself is completely hyped to where you're more likely to be killed by a bee sting, you know, accident-causing deer, or a peanut allergy in America than you are by a terrorist. And that's proven by academic studies. Mainstream media don't tend to talk about it too often. But you're going to be presenting this research at an upcoming event, so tell us about that.
Yes, I'm going to be providing a much fuller look at the research at the Observe Hack Make festival in the Netherlands in August, which is one, basically technologically focused festival that happens every 4 years. At the last one in 2009, Julian Assange gave the keynote talk, and this year it will be the former CIA analyst Ray McGovern. And there's be about 3,000 people there and about 300 lectures and workshops, one of which will be mine.
Okay, and any final points, websites, Twitter feeds you'd like to plug here in closing?
You can follow me on Twitter, at Silky Carlo, and that's about it, I suppose.
Okay, it's been fascinating, succinct, but we're going to delve into this subject more in future. And we look forward to hearing from you again, Silky Carlo. Thanks for joining us on InfoWars Nightly News.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. That's going to wrap it up for today's show. Remember to subscribe at prisonplanet.tv if you're watching this on YouTube. Just a ton of multimedia content there on prisonplanet.tv. Never before seen footage. Of course, every Alex Jones documentary, insider video, special reports, speeches, interviews. And of course, it funds the entire operation. None of this would be possible without our great subscribers at prisonplanet.tv. That's going to do it for today's show. This is InfoWars Nightly News. We'll see you next time.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.